I was going to teach on Romans today. You have pieces of paper in front of you. And Dwight L. Moody once said, a lady asked him, how long are you going to preach? He said, if I can start right now, preach all night. If you want a 5-minute sermon, you better give me 4 days to get ready for it, condense it down. You have a piece of paper in front of you. It's in Hebrew at the top. Sedek, I'm going to show you I can preach a 4-minute, 5-minute message. Sedek, Beaminuto, Beaminuto. 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 Pay a minuto, yuck, yuck. Pay attention to that letter, this letter, and that letter, which is A-M-N. What that is saying, and this is Sedeka, is that family of Hebrew words, S-D, oh, they would say Q, but it'd be simpler for you to have Sedek. Righteousness can be many things. The Greeks had an evil goddess that enforced the will of Zeus. They then wanted an independent righteousness, usually one they could create and measure up to. And the philosophers impersonalized it. We have those today that want a righteousness that's independent. Pull the others down. Come on, Dan. I brought before you in this book Gershowitz, the famous attorney, who describes an independent standard of righteousness and would have us believe that God learned by trial and error, and finally God gets smart enough to measure up to what Gershowitz thinks righteousness ought to be. No one wants to start with the living God. And the passages that follow, Romans 1:17, that quotes this passage out of Habakkuk, which is your second bit of printing there in Greek. No one wants to recognize that if God is, as he said to Abraham, I am that I am, he can do whatever he wants. You don't have to measure up to any standard to anybody. That which keeps God, God's power. The hippie said God is love. Well, he is loving, but love is not God. If love and God were synonymous, he'd be dead. Or he'd certainly be defeated by someone with more power. Power keeps God on his throne. If he is, if he spoke and nothing became everything, if all things consist in him, interestingly enough, the Times this week talked about the God particle. They're seeing for the first time some substance that's past matter as we know it, just like the water in which the fish swims that controls everything. God said that for a long, long time. We move and have our being in Him. If God is, you don't have to ask your permission for anything He does. And if God is, that's what people don't want to accept. Righteousness is what He is. When He spits, it's righteous. When He does other things that are unthinkable for God, He's righteous. Whatever He does is righteous. If He wipes people out with a belch, He's righteous. That's what we don't want to accept. It's what I didn't want to accept. He is. Moses is arguing with, who shall I tell Pharaoh, great power in the world, saying, I am that I am. Therefore, righteousness is what God is, and righteousness is what God says it is. We'd like to tell Him what it is, but He says what it is. And because He's God, He can say, Halloween season, I will make a contract with you. Righteousness, I will give life to those who carve pumpkin heads, put it over their head, and look through the eyes you just carved out. And the minute you put the pumpkin head on your head, you are righteous. Period. He defines it. That's why all the great scholars have recognized that these Sedeq words, which are defined as righteousness in the Old Testament, and in the Greek it's the dike words that define righteousness. Sedeqa has no meaning at all apart from a covenant. Period. It's a covenant. And God has revealed Himself to be a covenant-keeping God. That's the basis of faith. He says something, He'll do it. He's not a man to lie. When He says something, He's going to do it. He doesn't have to think about what He said. He doesn't back up. He hastens His word to perform it. He's faithful. Now, once you understand that the Sedeq words in the Old Testament mean and have no meaning apart from a covenant relationship, then righteousness is keeping covenant. But it is not God's righteousness to keep covenant. You can be a promise keeper, and you can make the same mistake they made through history. You reduce righteousness down to something you do and you like. I like people that keep covenants, and the Sedeq word refers to keeping covenant. But God's righteousness involves keeping covenant with Him. Him making the covenant, and there's only, we use testament for last will and testament because we can play God. We write all the terms. There's no contracting. It's an Old and New Testament. God writes the covenant, and Sedeq is keeping our side of the covenant, and Sedeq is God keeping His side of the covenant, which is why God is righteous, because He always does, and we're not because we don't. Just that simple. Don't complicate the simple. There can be all kinds of righteousness. We've been over it for weeks. From mythological, mean goddesses that enforce the will of Zeus to objective, fancy definitions, God's righteousness is doing what He says, and our righteousness is measured in a covenant relationship by keeping the covenant. Nobody can keep the old covenant. The only one that could was Jesus, and that's why the Colossian letter says that handwriting of ordinances that condemns us was nailed to a tree. People say I preach an easy gospel, they don't understand anything I'm saying. God removed the impossible. People say, Scott doesn't believe in righteousness. No, yours or mine. I don't believe in it. God's righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. I grew up in a church where breathing was a sin. I told you the story going to the mission field. God was against the upper part of the body in the Philippines. In Hong Kong's the lower part of the body and had the collars up to the neck. Went to India and went almost crazy. They had the belly empty or open. And the neck here, and the rest of the floor. So God liked legs, or God liked necks and shoulders, and hid the legs in the Philippines, and He liked legs, and hid the neck in China, and He liked the belly, and hid everything else in India. If you ever got confused, we'd have a strange church. I've heard everything called a sin. Paul reduces it down to hamartia, one Greek word, falling short. Now, God made a covenant. Do this. And most people think the law of 10 commandments, you're not even close. It involves what you do when you pass a wreck on the highway or your neighbor's ox in the ditch. Pretty hard on women at certain times of the month. And if you miss one jot or tittle, you're guilty of it all. It was a school teacher, according to Paul, to teach us our need of God. But God made a covenant. You keep that law, you'll live. You break it, you won't. He's faithful. He wouldn't ignore it. He sent His Son to kin with us and to pay the penalty of our failure, that He might do what He's always in His Word, opened a window into saying was His preference. And when He was punishing those people of the law in the book of Habakkuk, and Habakkuk was saying, this can't be, God said to him, the righteous, by the amen of Him, that's your suffix that tells you it's not God's righteousness, not God's amen that's involved here, but the person's amen, by the prefix, the amen of Him. The one whose righteousness is based upon a covenant of amenness, He lives. I've been teaching you this. This is what Paul's quoting in Romans 1:17. He uses the dike word. Dikaios, ek dikaios, eis deacon. These words all are lifting out of the Old Testament a new kind of covenant. Trust. What is really being said by the amen of Him, if your righteousness is the covenant I have given of trust, you'll live. Doesn't matter about everything else going on. I have more than one kind of covenant. I define righteousness however I want. I can decide I want to associate with people who walk backwards. And the covenant is, walk backwards the rest of your life, which may or may not improve the view. And I will give you life. You start walking backwards the rest of your life. If God's faithful to His covenant, He'll give you eternal life for walking backwards. And if you turn, you've lost it. He can define it any way He wants. If righteousness was staying 20 minutes too long and staying longer than the pastor said he had preached, you're going to get it today. God can define it however He wants. But He has always, that's what Paul argued, going behind the law of faith, He has always wanted trust. That's what He lost in Adam and Eve. They believed the father of lies and mistrusted Him. And they believed the devil who said, you won't die and you get a knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. Well, they've been dying ever since. Devil's a liar. And He gave them a law at the hands of angels. God Himself gave all the terms, and they can't do it. So the devil's a liar, and he's still looking for one thing. And I asked this question on my 25th anniversary, I ask it again and again. What do you want from people you love? You want perfection or trust? And your heart of hearts tells you the answer. You want trust. Doesn't mean you're going to let them abuse you. Doesn't mean that they can be certain things that are just unspeakable and be a trustworthy person. But the heart of the matter is, you're getting close to God. He's looking for trusters. People that trust Him. And He's always had a covenant, beginning with Abraham. Abraham wasn't saved by works, saved by faith. David wasn't saved by works, saved by faith. And He's saying to Habakkuk, those whose tzedekah, righteousness, is based upon the amenness of them, they live. Paul pulls that out of the Old Testament. And I've already given you a list of words. There, I'm not even going to write in Hebrew now. I'm in a hurry. Batak. Has. Sir. Amen. And in between here, we introduced last Sunday in at the end of the verse, Sheon, or Shaon, and we characterize Sean, Batok is to lean on something for support. Sean is to be there, leaning on it. Hasa is to run to the shelter of a rock. And when you're there, running to that shelter, it's an action word, you will run to it for your shelter. And as you learn that the staff will hold you, you are leaning on it and it's supporting you. As you run to it, and it is the place of safety, you eventually develop a trusting attitude to where your knee-jerk reaction is trust. Now, the focus of the leaning and the running is God's Word and His faithfulness to His Word. If you, facing crisis after crisis, start out with baby steps, circumstance this, double 10 Gleason, God's Word this, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. You can believe to see, you can run to God's Word and lean on it. You can run to the shelter. You can put yourself leaning there on that Word. And you come to a spot. As I've said of David, he used to moan and groan before he got to God. Now you read his old age Psalms. He moans a little, but he gets to God in a hurry. I've learned over the years that God can be counted on. So no matter what the circumstance, I'm going to lay God's Word down. With the resurrected Christ there to back it up. And I'm going to run to it first. Not last. First. And when you reach a stage that God has been there, and you look back, as you will, many of you, how many times you thought you wouldn't make it, and God took you through, and God was there, you develop a quicker reaction to where your knee-jerk reaction first is to run to the Word, lean on the Word. When you have that state of mind, you have finally come to say, whatever happens, amen, God. We cheapen that word in English. It's a cognate, and so be it. Amen to God. Whatever happens, He's there. Whatever happens, He's here to test my faith. Whatever happens, He'll see me through. Amen, God. Are you nuts? I had a heart attack. Cancer's not in the agenda. No. Amen, God. I'll be a better man, a better Christian, more faith. It has driven. I've told you 1,000 times what F.B. Meyer said. Pressure never killed anybody. It's where it is. If it's between you and God, it'll kill you. If it drives you to God, it'll make you. You got a better pastor today. Because of a double 10 Gleason. Because it put a lot of things in perspective. And I'm seeing, once again, what I've seen from four corners of the globe to everyday detail. When you put your trust in God, He's there. I really do. I said last Sunday I deserve this less than I used to. Because I really am an amener. Whereas I used to, with faltering steps, when nothing else would work, I would run or lean. But I have become an amener. So I didn't deserve this. I preach it. I don't have to live it. No, that's what I've been teaching you. And that's what Paul said when he quotes this. There is a righteousness that gets God's attention. More important than the rest. Because if I understand the gospel, He will cover you and look at you with the spectacle of Christ, and as you, with the heart, believe and with the mouth proclaim, He will place you in Christ, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and look at you as a finished product. But in the meantime, He will put in you the same life that raised up Jesus from the dead. And a warfare starts, but that life will displace the old life, and we become new creatures, creations in Christ Jesus. That's what the Christian gospel teaches. I get that not because I deserve it. God says to me, if I trust Him, He'll give me that. I don't care about anybody's righteousness. I can't do it. But God wants to do it all. He wants to put me, covered by His grace, in Christ, and put His life, the same life that raised up Christ from the dead, in me, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And I've told you, when you come to this church, you don't have to change. Send me every sinner in town. I'm not your judge and you're not mine. But you start faithing, God's going to change you. Because His life in you, we know that radioactive material will change the cells of the body. What about the energy that created radioactivity dwelling in us that can displace the old man? What God said and what Paul is quoting, there is a righteousness that is God's gift under the contract of faith. Those whose righteousness is not based on their works or wearing pumpkins on their head or any other conceived idea of what you think God might want, their righteousness is based on trusting Him. They live. And that trusting relationship, as Paul quotes, comes down to that last phrase that's on the paper. Not only is righteousness, dikaios is the Greek word, in the genitive with a G underneath it because it's the origin. We are to live a life as Christians, ek pisteos, eis pisten, from or out of faith to faith. There isn't. That's why this faith message is not popular. This checkbook Christianity, you can get it done and do whatever you want. You can say, well, I'm at least I'm this close. Faith 100% or zero. And when the righteousness is a gift of God, nonetheless real, that will change your being if maintained. From faith to faith, it's got to be every day. And there's no measure of faith unless faith is tested. And I've been around long enough and in the battle long enough, it takes a pretty big wallop to force me beyond myself to where faith. Things that I thought would kill me 25 years ago, I do under my arm now. Takes a big wallop. Well, cancer's a big wallop. Doesn't change God's word one iota. From faith to faith. Why wouldn't I start my 25th year with a test of faith? Why wouldn't I, in that phase of the ministry prophesied by Clara Grace of miracles, why wouldn't I, in God's sovereign provision, let's see what old Gene will do when that death word cancer hits him in the face. Well, with all due respect, my father, you've been watching. I've run to your word. And I'm staying there. I'm going to your word. And that's why I've camped out on this. And I preach 7 messages a year. I call nitro pills. I can do one. This was the 4-minute message. Sorry, it's land of 30. I've woven these nitro pills into the passage from faith to faith. This is what Christianity is. If you're coasting, if you're laying down, if you're sitting down and going over your little checklist of how perfect you are, you're going to hell. But God ain't interested in your righteousness. But if you've been jarred off your nest like a mother eagle pushing the bird out, if you have suddenly confronted something that without God you're not going to make it, why I said it's almost too bad because now I know surgeons can cure me. A few weeks ago, I really knew I needed God. You've got to have the challenges to go from faith to faith. So I weave and shorten it today's nitro pill to illustrate what, by example, I'm being made to do, and you walk with me. One of my messages I've preached every year is I've taught faith these 25 years to Deuteronomy 33, the Song of Asher. 2 Corinthians 1:20 gives you a license to fish through God's book because it says all, and the Greek panta means everyone. All promises of God in Him, that is in Christ, in whom we are, if we're practicing faith, are mine to claim. The book of Asher says, your shoes will be iron brass. Not much like that. So I studied that. Anybody go to bed or the shower, the bedroom, or a place to relax wearing shoes of iron and brass? Huh? Boy, been in a good fight, you'd like to have one, wouldn't you? I titled it Tough Shoes for a Tough Trip. This Song of Asher starts out and it blends then into a general promise to God's people. And I thought on that. I said, you know what this promise is saying? Tough shoes for a tough trip. You don't need iron and brass shoes for an easy trip. You don't need iron and brass shoes to relax in the den. Iron and brass shoes, tough walking. It's going to be a tough trip, folks. I've said to you, like old Jack White, cheer up, saints, it's going to get worse. I mean, I wonder when I said that to you earlier this year if I thought I was going to be hit with cancer. I mean, God got strange hearing aids on. When I said, cheer up, saints, it's going to get worse, worse was not supposed to include cancer. The worst not supposed to include whatever you've been hit with. Going to get worse. Tough shoes required because it's a tough trip. But the shoes are tough enough for the trip. How shoes wear out? Shoes of iron and brass. Now, some would translate it iron bolts and iron gates. Well, okay, then that means you're under attack and you've got to have a strong gate to hold it off. The mission of this promise is quit asking for a featherbed route. From faith to faith is the way we go. And faith to faith requires a new test to make the faith grow. It's going to be tough, but whom the Lord calls, he enables. The shoes are tough enough for the trip. Next promise, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Now that's interesting. As thy day. A God who sees a sparrow fall and knows the hairs on your head measures out with precision strength for each of us every day. Every day. The devil plans all night long, you don't sleep. God knows your name, your address. Remember, I once preached on Moses? 40 years he'd been in the desert. And the burning bush was there, and God spoke. He didn't say, hey, you over there. He didn't say, hey, shepherd. Moses, he knew exactly where he was. Not only does he know you and what you're facing, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Nobody ever had a nervous breakdown about today. It's always tomorrow. We don't have the ability, and maybe you have to continue to be tested. From faith to faith, from faith to faith. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Next time you get up feeling like you can conquer the world, you're going to get it. When you can't hardly swing your legs off the bed, say, thank God, I haven't got my strength, ain't going to be much of a battle. I'm being ludicrous to make the point with humor. But day after day, I had great plans when this news came. Plans that do not include weeks of medication and threat to life and all the other things. God is, I don't even know the word retire. We have Secret 13 on the way. Secret 14 is taking shape. And you suddenly face, I told you, I only thought of mortality twice, when my dad died and when I was watching my heart and that heart attack. And I'm sitting and wondering if my whole life is going to change in a permanent start downhill. I don't think that's the way the saints go. My dad went out, God just took his breath away. But I couldn't help but think about it. I have learned these days, not as well as I need to, but more and more, more than the last time I preached this message. I'm okay today. I'm not in denial. God has given me every evidence. But tomorrow is tomorrow. As the love of God who measures out to each of us, strength sufficient for the day. I've told you, don't ever quit. At the end of the day, we have an agreement as a congregation. If I resign at the end of the day, it's not good. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. End the day. Go to bed. Last night, I didn't even want to tell you the fights and the battles. I didn't even want to come here today. Thanks to Melissa who took my hand and reminded me of some of the things I preach. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. I didn't have much last night. Got plenty now. And the day is half gone, and I still got plenty. The eternal God is thy refuge is the next one. It's got to be fast. The eternal God is thy refuge. The word literally in the Hebrew is the God of the forefront. The one who is on the corner before you get there. Now I do this every time I do it, and it's always difficult. Time to us, what has already happened is behind us, right? And what's yet to come is in front of us. That's the way we think? Now, turn your mind around for a minute and be God. Imagine time as a parade, because God's outside time and in time, greater than time, and the Alpha and the Omega. Imagine time as a parade. We're standing like God watching it. Now, what's already gone by is up front. And what's yet to come is behind. You follow that? Wait a minute. What's happened in my life is behind. And what I'm scared of yet to come is in front of me. Not if you look at time from beginning to end as a parade. What's already happened, gone by, is up front. And what's yet to come is behind. That means God's already made the trip, and He's on the corner before what's behind gets there. You understand that? The eternal God, eternal, always, is thy refuge. Oh, what if this biopsy is going to turn out bad? He's already there. No, Dr. Chu doesn't realize God's going to take that hand of his. In fact, God's already looked inside. God's already biopsied me. He does it with His Word and leaves no scars. Well, what if it's double ten again? So, it's double ten again. God's on His throne. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. And the God of the forefronts is there before I get there. He's already taken care of it for me before I get there. That's what from faith to faith means. Until you begin to believe that, you live in fear. Well, I ain't too good at this, and I falter. So what? So did I last night. Next promise. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You know what underneath means? They just translate it under from the straight word in Hebrew. It's under. Try to conceive this. The other one was bad. Try to conceive this. It's underneath bottomless. Whatever bottomless is, it's underneath that. Now, surely God is fast enough to play a game of checkers with Jesus and see me falling, and get His hand over there before I hit. Underneath bottomless, everlasting arms, waiting. The trip is tough, so are the shoes. As thy day, you individually, whatever your problem is, that you came here today to honor me on this anniversary, you got problems. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. The eternal God of the forefront will be thy refuge. Underneath, if you fall, everlasting arms. And then you go down to something I haven't pointed out in previous years. You find this same letter, Shem. And you find that letter linked to K and N. Shocking. These kind, it says, shall live or shall dwell in safety alone. They translate it in the King James. If you go on down and read it, these Israel, that's us, the church of today, shall live, dwell, depending on the translation, alone, safely. Translator took liberty. You know what the word safely translates? You know what is being translated? Batak. Batak. That strange sound of CH that we can't pronounce, like Khomeini or Humani. B-T-K-A, Batak. Okay. The way it ends, this promise, strong shoes, managing to tough trip, but shoes are tough enough. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. As for me and cancer or whatever. The eternal God's there first. The God of the forefront. I fail. I weaken. I struggle. I have, in the middle of the night, I have thoughts. What if? Underneath, thanks be to God, everlasting arms. He doesn't even move them. Even if I don't fall, He's got them there. These kind shall go beyond just running to the support, just leaning on the support, saying amen to what comes. Eventually you get to the stage, you actually dwell in Batak. Faith. You actually dwell in that state of faith. Alone. Alone. With faith, you don't need anything else. I ain't there yet, but with faith, I'm sorry, this is what God's Word says, and I'm preaching it. They shall dwell in faith alone. They shall have it as their constant place of habitation. And if you dwell therein, you can fulfill the promise. This is why I teach on the table of the Lord that there is the chastisement of our shalom. Shalom is hello, goodbye, but that's not what the word means. It's well-being. It includes health. My health was provided. It is a health and a life, as this word here, he lives, is more than just existing. It's full and abundant life. At least Oral Roberts had that message, though it went too far with the abundant life interpretation. Life of God's nature in us. You can dwell there until you move from faith to faith, until nothing can shake you off that course. These kind are seen as righteous because of their trust, and we live. And that's my message. Forgive me for going so long, but that's my message for today. Faith to faith. Stand. Offering time. The buses will give you time to take the tour, do a general survey. Carl, don't make it too long because the buses will be waiting, but hit the highlights. Thank you for coming this day. Forgive me for going so long, but Romans is my passion, and I do want to get to the next few verses. Christianity is from faith to faith. Tough trip, tough shoes, daily strength. God's ahead of you. He'll clear the road, as my dad used to say. Underneath the everlasting arms, if you fall. You learn it, and as Smith Wigglesworth once said, you go from ever-increasing faith to faith. Maybe I'll have the luxury of dwelling, so dwelling in faith that nothing can rock me as I make the final steps to my eternal home. This I know from faith to faith. my Heavenly Father watches over me. It's offering time. Again, thank you for coming. I wish I could have the reception afterwards. I must run. Sing the song, and may God bless all of you in your walk of faith.